Cruise lies more than any human being I've ever dealt with. Unbelievable. And he holds up the Bible and he lies.
14-year-old Abigail Koff continues to fight for her life days after being wounded in the shooting spree that left six others dead and one more wounded.
The case that we're making is not that the FBI should determine what access they should have to that information, but it also shouldn't be a private sector company that's trying to sell stuff.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It is 5:10 and it's Tuesday. It's February 23rd, 2016. Good morning and welcome to the program. Welcome to Tuesday. On the show today, we're going to give you some tips about how to market your business better on Instagram. And later in the broadcast, it's tax time. Time to get ready for Mr. Taxman. We'll have an expert on to tell you what you need to be getting ready now if you're preparing your taxes, what kinds of records and such. And maybe he can give us some advice, too, about what on the over-the-counter software is good for doing your taxes. He'll have some other tips as well. That's all coming up on The Opening Bell this morning. But first, your overnight market intel will begin overseas with the Asian markets relatively unchanged this morning, but some mostly weaker with price of crude oil lower after a surge overnight. The Energy Agency, International Energy Agency, yesterday says it does not expect oil prices to recover significantly until 2017, and that is impacting the markets in Asia in a big way. The IEA says the global output of about $80 a barrel is something we won't see again for several years. And just to give you an idea of where it's trading this morning, $33 a barrel is where the benchmark U.S. crude is today. Yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials gained about 1.5% to 16,620. The Standard & Poor's climbed about 1.5%. Most of the components of the S&P were higher most of the day. Yesterday, it was a good day for those components. The NASDAQ was up as well. Tech stocks leading the charge, up about a point and a half, or a percent and a half. The dollar fell against the yen and the euro. This morning, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg chimed in on the controversy swirling around Apple and the demand by FBI to open a back door to the iPhone of the San Bernardino shooter. Zuckerberg spoke at the Mobile World Congress.
I don't think requiring backdoors into encryption is either going to be an effective way to increase security or is really the right thing to do for just the direction that the world is going in. So we're pretty sympathetic with Tim and Apple on this one.
Apple faces a Thursday deadline, a court order actually, to open the back door. Privacy activists and others will protest in 40 cities across the country this morning and this afternoon, including Chicago. Meanwhile, a relative says the father of a woman killed in the San Bernardino terrorist attack has agreed to support the U.S. government's push against Apple, and a lawsuit could be filed as soon as today. Other news today, the United Technologies Corporation has confirmed it talked with Honeywell International about the possibility of combining the two industrial conglomerates, but determined that regulatory obstacles were too high to make that deal feasible. Shares in United Tech jumped almost 5% on Monday. Several major economic reports are due out today. The Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Index of home prices for December in the fourth quarter is out. The National Association of Realtors releases existing home sales for January. The Conference Board will release the Consumer Confidence Index for February. Home Depot and Macy's will report quarterly financial results before the market opens. Instagram may soon be changing the way you see likes. The company is testing a new feature that causes all likes to appear as numbers, even if a photo has fewer than 11 total likes. Previously, photos with fewer than 11 likes showed the usernames of each person who liked that photo. It's not clear how long Instagram's been testing this feature, but many users began seeing the new likes over the last couple of days. An Instagram spokesperson's confirmed the test, but says if and when the feature will show up has yet to be decided. Are you using Instagram the right way? Probably not, especially if you're a small business. Our first guest this morning on The Opening Bell is Jennifer Schiff. She's sort of an expert in social media. She writes about it for CIO.com. And good morning, Jennifer Schiff.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you this morning?
I am good, and I'm so happy you're talking about Instagram, because there are a lot of people out there who aren't really taking advantage of it or doing all the things that they should be doing.
We're going to get into a bigger discussion after we check traffic, but Jennifer, why is it important that people are on Instagram, especially small businesses?
So Instagram currently has over 400 million active users. It is probably the most popular social media network. And if you are a business, especially a small business, and let's say you're in food or fashion or you're selling something visual, it's a terrific way to get your product out there and in front of 400 million potential customers. But, you know, it's very easy with 400 million people and 80 million pictures being uploaded every day to get lost. But there are ways to get found, and they're pretty easy.
And we're going to talk about those coming up. Jennifer Schiff, a business and technology writer, contributor to CIO.com on Twitter, at Jennifer L. Schiff, S-C-H-I-F-F, and she writes for CIO Online, at CIO Online. We'll continue our conversation with Jennifer right after we check traffic this morning. Here's Mary Vandeveld.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. The roller coaster that is Asian stocks ended on the low side overnight. The International Energy Agency said it doesn't expect oil prices to recover significantly until next year. That was enough to keep Asian investors on the sidelines. On this side of the Pacific, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed higher at 16,620. The S&P 500 climbed 1.5%. The NASDAQ Composite ended its session up, closing at 4570. Investors will be watching as Standard & Poor's offers up its latest Case-Shiller Home Price Index later today. The monthly numbers give a snapshot of the nation's housing market. They've been showing a steady rise in U.S. home prices in the last few months. An extensive government analysis may put new wind in the sails of alternative energy sources. The U.S. Geological Survey says that at current mining and pricing rates, the nation's largest coal reserves will be tapped out in just a few decades. Previous estimates said we had 250 years of coal left. They now say it's about 40. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 519. Welcome back to the program. We're talking about Instagram and how you can utilize it better, especially if you're a business, a small business especially. We're talking with the business and technology writer, Jennifer Schiff, a contributor to CIO.com. Jennifer, before the break, we talked about the ways that we can use Instagram better. Most of us think of it as a photograph sharing service. How does a business leverage that sort of thing?
Well, it is a photo sharing service, but if you have, as I said, a product that looks great in pictures, you should be on Instagram. But the number one thing is put up a good picture. It's amazing to me how many people, especially businesses, don't take the time to edit their picture, you know, to create a picture that's something that they would look at and say, wow, I'd like to know more about that, or where can I buy that? Where can I get that? And it's pretty simple. You take a picture, you can do it both with your phone or with a regular camera, and then when you upload it to Instagram, Instagram has a number of editing tools which can make even just a good picture great. So take the extra couple of minutes to edit your pictures. And another really important thing for businesses, show someone using your product or wearing your product. I mean, you don't have to have a perfect model shot. You don't have to set up a photo shoot for this, but just, you know, for example, when you see your kid and you're like, oh, isn't that cute? Let me take a picture of your kid. Think the same way with your product. Like, wow, isn't this a great moment? Let me show my product in its best light. And it really doesn't take that much time or effort.
You know,
it's super important.
Some of the complaints that I hear about Instagram from business owners is that they can't tailor it to themselves. They have a hard time putting their logo on it or putting some sort of marketing information. Has that improved? Has that process improved? And how can people do that?
So a great example that I wanted to give your listeners is Aerie, which is a division of American Eagle. They're doing everything right on Instagram, and this week they just launched this new promotion in association with the National Eating Disorders Awareness Week. So if you go on Aerie, it's A-E-R-I-E. Now, they're not a small business, but as I said, they're doing things right. And they've created a special hashtag. They have a link to their website in their bio, and that's what every small business should be doing, is putting a link to their website or a special landing page for Instagram viewers in the bio on Instagram. And then they created a special hashtag to advertise this particular promotion. They've actually created two special hashtags. Hashtags is a way to attract people who maybe aren't your followers on Instagram. Every business should be checking out which hashtags relate to them. You can even Google top Instagram hashtags and then find stuff by category. Super easy. You can also create your own custom business hashtag to promote your product, your service on Instagram, and make sure to include that. But as I said, at Aerie on Instagram is doing this great promotion for a great cause. They're cross-promoting, which is another great way for businesses to get exposure. If somebody's doing something similar or complementary to you, you can put each other's Instagram handle or a hashtag in there. And they're using a really nice picture that gets the message across. So there are three or four different things, easy things that you can do without having to put a marketing description in or having to put a link into the actual post, but gets your message across. So that's hashtags, cross-promoting, a picture, those, and making sure you have a link to your business or a special landing page in your Instagram bio.
I've seen recently for intermediate users of social media and Instagram, templates that you can buy or in some cases they're free, where it enables you to create this Instagram-like photo with your marketing language on there. Is that something that people who are a little bit more intermediate should look into?
Absolutely. If you're comfortable doing it, one of the tools that I was just recently turned on to is PicMonkey, where you could even take, say, a customer testimonial and turn that into an Instagram picture, which is a great way. You talked about a marketing message before to get that message across. And in regard to templates, it's like anything else. Like if you're setting up a website, just go and test it out first before you start posting things. Are you comfortable using this template? Does it look good to you? And then if you like it, if you're comfortable using it, go ahead and try it out. You have nothing to lose on Instagram. It's free. So you're not getting the traction that you want, try something else.
Timing is very important, too, just with all other social media, when you post, where you post, that sort of thing. What is your best advice in terms of timing?
Know your audience. That's really it. So a lot of people will get on Instagram first thing in the morning, maybe before they go to work or right when they get to work, they'll check their Instagram feed. Another time, lunchtime. After work, before bed, let's say that you're a mom, and there are a lot of working women, working moms who are on Instagram. They're going to probably wait until after their children go to bed at night. So maybe you're going to have a lot of traction with that particular audience, say at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. You have to know who you're appealing to. Teens and 20-somethings who are huge Instagram users, they're on all the time. Except they go to school, and so they're probably not going to be checking, or they shouldn't be checking, in the morning or in the early afternoon. But right after school, say at 3 or 4 o'clock, you'll get a whole bunch of teens and college students who will be checking their Instagram feeds.
400 million active users on Instagram by one estimate. You talked about that earlier, maybe rising even higher next year. That's a lot of eyes if you make a mistake. What is the best or worst mistake people can make, and how to avoid it?
You know, I don't think that there is a big mistake. If you post something that you suddenly realize is inappropriate, just delete it. Delete it right away. I think common sense, as with anything, is really important here. Don't post an image that might be really controversial to your audience. You know, people post on their individual feeds, you know, questionably attired. Maybe for your business feed, you don't want to put up a picture of yourself in a string bikini. I think it's common sense. But if you do post something, just delete it right away. And don't be afraid to issue an apology. Put up a different picture and issue an apology. People will really respond to that.
And we have just about 30 seconds left, but I want to get your input on this. Is Instagram more, is it better, a better place to be than Facebook or Twitter for businesses?
I think for a younger demographic, Steve, it probably is. A lot of teens and 20-somethings have really moved over to Instagram. They like the short message. They like the visual impact of it. It doesn't require as much time and effort, and they can really show their creativity on it, and they tend to engage with brands more on Instagram than some of the other ones, such as Twitter and Facebook. So I think if you're really trying to target that younger audience, those teens and 20-somethings and even the 30-somethings, I think Instagram is definitely an important marketing tool or platform for your business.
Jennifer Schiff is a business and technology writer, contributor to CIO.com. You can find her on Twitter at Jennifer L. Schiff. And Jennifer, thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell this morning.
Hey, nice talking to you, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. It's 5:27. Let's head over to the newsroom. Esmeralda is standing by. Esmeralda, what's coming up on the news?
Well, we're hearing reports that Tribune Publishing CEO Jack Griffin has been ousted by the company's new top shareholder, Michael Farrow. And we're also going to talk about police officers were led on an hour-long high-speed chase last night that ended in Englewood.
All right, we will check in with you in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us here on the Opening Bell. It's 5:28.
From ABC News Tech Trends, this past holiday season's hottest gift was a little too hot.
Hoverboard is on fire.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission says no hoverboard is certified as safe.
It is irresponsible for a company to continue to sell hoverboards that they know do not comply with the standard.
That's Elliot Kay, the chairman of the CPSC, talking about the problem with those self-balancing scooters, the batteries. A lot of them come from China and don't meet the lithium-ion standard established here, leading to those explosive internet videos that show flames and batteries shooting out of hoverboards, even though ABC's Gio Benitez says one of the biggest makers of hoverboards says let's not outlaw these things just yet.
Swagway says it will comply with the new guidelines, that they've come up with a new technology that should solve these issues.
But for now, the CPSC says hoverboards that are out there are subject to recall. Consumers who have them should return them, and retailers that sold them should offer full refunds.
It's on fire!
With Tech Trends, I'm Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. It's 5:35, and just into the business desk this morning, Home Depot has reported earnings better than expectations. The company has reported fiscal fourth quarter net income of $1.47 billion. That is a stronger than expected showing by quite a bit, actually, and shares, which have fallen about 7% since the beginning of the year, are trading higher this morning. Pre-market trading, shares of Home Depot up 1.7%. It is tax time as folks get ready to pay Uncle Sam. And if you're like many people, you wait to the last minute generally to do it, and you have a big bag of receipts sitting on your counter. It is not something that we look forward to, but we're going to try to help you get through it today with a little bit of advice from the Tax Depot. At the Tax Depot, Andrew Poulos is a tax expert, and he's on the Opening Bell with us this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Great for you to get up and be with us this morning. We always appreciate advice, especially when it comes to paying our taxes. Can you tell us what we should be doing right now to get ready for that deadline?
Absolutely. Obviously, as you said, the earlier we get started, the better off we are. Those who procrastinate just get stressed and then find it to be a very difficult process at the end. So I always tell folks, get started early. Make sure when you go get your taxes done that you're organized and you have all your documents, or else that just kind of impedes the process and makes it more difficult to get it done all at one stop, pretty much. So it's preparation is always crucial.
We're hearing a lot of commercials on TV and on the radio about the IRS cutting its own budget, having budget cuts, having fewer people. And that means there's sort of, you know, things that are happening that might not normally happen, like automatic, pick one that you would normally talk to a person with, automatic audits, automatic checks. Should we be concerned about budget cuts at the IRS?
Yeah, look, a lot of people view budget cuts at the IRS as a good thing. The reality is it's a direct effect on us all as taxpayers. When you have a question or you have an issue or you get a letter and you can't get in touch with anyone at the IRS, that's a problem. That's a direct result of budget cuts that Congress has had on the IRS and staff. So that's one of the big challenges we're seeing this year, is that you can't get through to the IRS. Even us as tax professionals, we have a special line that we call in. Our hold times could range anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours just to speak to someone, if we get lucky to even get through on some days. So it's a problem, and I think we're starting to see the wave of the future, with the IRS and how things are going to be going. So people just need to be prepared, and that's why I said that it's best if you get started early, because if you're missing documents, if you have to call the IRS for any reason before you can get your taxes done, you're going to have pretty much a slow process.
Getting going early is especially important for self-employed people or small business owners, isn't it?
It sure is. It's very important for self-employed and small business owners. The reason is those who are self-employed or small business owners may have other filing requirements that individuals don't have, such as issuing W-2s and 1099s to people that might have worked for them or people that they paid some money out. So the those requirements come in much sooner, for example, January 31st, February 28th. Then you have the corporate tax returns for self-employed people. If they're a corporation or an LLC, that comes up on March 15th versus April 15th. So there's a lot of other deadlines that come around. Those folks in particular do need to get started early.
We often hear of the problems that things like the Affordable Care Act is having, other mandates that Congress has put in place. What are the big pitfalls in those areas? I mean, is it as bad as they say with the Affordable Care Act impacting taxes? Are some of these other things as bad as we hear these commercials telling us they are?
Yeah, it definitely is. And let me tell you what the challenges are right now that we're seeing is not only are people getting taxed for not being able to afford health insurance, the big problem we're seeing this year, this is the year where all the Affordable Care Act laws are taking effect, really taking effect. So what that means is people are going to get their taxes done. They don't have the form 1095 B or C from their employer or the health insurance company perhaps right now. People are going back to their employer. I'm having clients, you know, ask their employer for the 1095-B, which is the proof of health insurance, and the employers are telling people that, hey, we either don't have to provide one or we have gotten a pass from the IRS until March 31st. It's a total nightmare right now. This year is a disaster year because employers aren't prepared. The IRS apparently has given them more time to get paperwork out, which doesn't surprise me. The IRS has given freebies out to a lot of people, and then all of a sudden, you know, we can't do our job on our end as tax professionals. So it's a very problematic year right now.
Then on the flip side of that, though, this the PATH Act of 2015 was passed by Congress late December, I believe, and it makes tax laws retroactive for 2015. There's some benefits in there for folks, especially, you know, I'm thinking of commuters who use public transportation. There are, you know, added tax breaks for people this year, aren't there?
There are. The PATH Act did make things retroactive, some laws retroactive, which is typical of Congress. They'll go the entire year, let laws that have expired the prior year in December 31st go, and then December, mid-December, late December, they'll come out and say, okay, we're going to make these retroactive. So it's just very hard and problematic for us to help our clients and be able to do tax planning. For example, one of the laws that was made retroactive, which had expired, was residential energy property credits. So people who own a home that they live in, if they've done any upgrades, for example, the windows or a water heater or a new furnace that's energy efficient, they could get credits, which are dollar for dollar reductions of their taxes versus a tax deduction, which doesn't have as big of an impact. So there's a lot of things that have been extended, and people do need to make sure that when they get their taxes done, they're deducting everything, they're getting all the credits they're allowed, and making sure that they're using licensed and qualified tax professionals who are skilled in doing their taxes versus just going to get it done for cheap and really losing out at the end of the day.
You talked there about tax professionals, human beings, but more increasingly we're seeing all of this being automated. And so, you know, people are starting to use these software programs. I'm one of those people. I use TurboTax. It's very easy. It always helps me with my problems. Do you recommend software like that? And which one's the best?
Look, I am in favor of folks doing it themselves and using automated software online, but you always have to keep in mind pretty much that the software only does so much. So if you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out as results, unfortunately, and that's what people have to keep in mind, that the software is not going to really read your mind as far as your personal tax situation. It's not a human being who asks questions and does research and gets results. But for those that have easy tax returns, maybe just a W-2, a child, maybe a homeowner that feel comfortable doing it themselves. TurboTax is this year on top of the list, basically, for the best tax offers to use. It's a little bit pricier than some of the others, but you do get the best results with them.
How can we be sure if we're hiring a tax professional that they're qualified and they can do the job? Because you see all of these places pop up right about now, the storefronts with tax preparers. How do we know we're getting a good one?
That's the challenge, and that's the good question, is we basically have to ask questions. And sometimes it's that gut feeling when you go somewhere and you just, you know, you don't feel comfortable. Sometimes it's best to walk out. But really, you know, if you're looking for someone, if you have a somewhat of a decent, moderately complex return, and you want to find a good qualified professional, ask for, you know, referral from a friend or a family member, do some research online, but you got to be careful of where you're going into. When you go in, for example, to the place that just popped up next to the gas station, and the person's not going to be there after April 15th, you have to ask yourself, what's going to happen if after April the IRS sends you a letter and you don't have that person available for help, basically? So you have to kind of look, do a little research, and again, if you go to somewhere and you just don't feel comfortable, something doesn't seem right, you always have the right to get your paperwork and walk back out and go somewhere else.
Andrew Poulos is a tax expert, nationally recognized tax expert, author, also an enrolled agent. You can find him on Twitter at The Tax Depot. Andrew, good of you to be with us in the opening bell this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And by the way, we mentioned earlier the trying to get through to the IRS. There's one estimate that says last year, only 37% of phone calls were answered during the 2015 filing season by the IRS, and that means all those other people never got through. It's 5:45 on the opening bell. Let's check traffic with Mary Vandeville.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:48. Welcome back to the program. Dow future is off now 5 points. S&P futures off 2. Crude oil is trading at $31 a barrel this morning. Let's find out how some of the other commodities traded yesterday. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve, from Arizona, where the full moon last night was absolutely brilliant on the desert. Well, yesterday, oil prices moved sharply higher. So what do you expect in the cattle market? Not sharply higher, but at least they did move higher in yesterday's trade. Much of that happened by the morning's wholesale beef price turnaround. Buy stops, fund buying contributed to the strength in live cattle futures, and the April contract ended at $134.62 a hundredweight. That was up 67 cents for the day. The morning's wholesale choice beef price yesterday jumped to $1.55 per hundredweight from Friday. That put it at $213.21. Short covering and the wholesale pork price upswing helped the lean hog futures at the Merck yesterday, with the April contract closing up 35 cents at $69.25 a hundredweight. Turning to the grain market yesterday, strong exports that supported U.S. corn and soybeans. Wheat continued on the weak side, but soybeans closed at their highest in nearly 3 weeks yesterday. Overseas interest for U.S. supplies for beans also supported corn futures, corn up to the highest level since February 5. But the Department of Agriculture yesterday reported export inspections of soybeans at 1,531,000 tons. That was well above trade expectations for yesterday. Coming up later this week on the farm calendar, the USDA Agricultural Outlook Forum in Washington, D.C. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a good day.
You too, Orion. And here back on the opening bell, the 9th annual America Saves Week survey's out. It finds that only 2/5, about 40% of U.S. households, report good or excellent progress in meeting their savings goals. What does that mean? Savings at least 5% of one's income, 49% do that. Saving enough for retirement with desirable standard of living, about 52% do that. Automatic saving outside of work, 43%. No consumer debt, just 38%. Joining us on the opening bell to talk more about savings and how to save is Terry Savage, nationally known expert, personal finance, markets, economy, better known here as one of our in-house experts on WGN, at Terry Talks Money on Twitter. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Were you surprised at all by the America Saves findings?
You know, I don't even think this report knew whether it was a good report or a bad report. This was a very classic glass half full, glass half empty kind of a report. The headline was that people are making progress, but that still it's pretty dismal that most of Americans, about half of Americans, are not making enough progress to either have a secure retirement or to live without fear of an emergency. And I'm not surprised by that. It's tough to save in an economy that still doesn't have enough jobs that pay good wages.
And it seems to contradict recent findings of other studies, including some, you know, college and university studies that say people barely have $500 for emergencies. How do we, you know, how do we manage the two?
The fact is that at least we're calling attention. I think there are people who listen who are saying, "Really? You think some people can save 5% of their income? That's a goal." And many people can't manage to live week to week to have any reserves or put their kids to school or college or for some people just, you know, put food on the table and keep clothes on their kids in the winter. So it's a nice headline. It reminds us also that when we get headlines that say American retail sales aren't going up, people aren't spending enough, the economy is falling, that's something called the paradox of thrift. If people do save, then they're told, well, you know, you're slowing the economy down. So we send lots of mixed messages.
And there's
lots of mixed messages.
Yeah, and one of those mixed messages is going to millennials, especially because they're being told, you know, you got to save, save, save. But a lot of them are still living at home. They're barely making ends meet. What do you tell young people about saving money? I mean, if they even can.
There's no easy way to save money, number one. But the only possible way, and I think this report also agrees with something I've said for years, is that one thing we know, it's a savage truth, we can all spend as much money as we make. And I mean, maybe Oprah can't, and maybe Donald Trump can't. So, but the fact is that most working people, the simple principle is you can spend as much money as you make. When you were younger, if you ever thought you'd be making what you're making now, you would have thought you'd be rich, but not so. So the secret of saving is to make it automatic and take it out of your hands before you see it and spend it. You get a paycheck. There's a deduction for FICA. That's your Social Security. You can't go into the boss and say, sorry, I can't afford to have this taken out this month, so please stop. So what you have to do is either through a plan at work, your 401k, great place, especially if they'll match it, or just through an automatic money transfer when your paycheck is deposited, move even $50 a paycheck to a separate savings account. Have your bank do it. Have a mutual fund company dip into your checking and take it out and put it into an IRA. But if you make it automatic and take it out before you see it so you can't spend it, then you can start to build savings. And I know that's the only way. That's a savage truth.
And this is a trend, too, in workplaces. They're automatically just taking it out now, right?
Yes. It used to be that you had to sign up for the 401k plan about 7 or 8 years back. They said, no, let's allow people to make it automatic, and you have to opt out. But you're talking at this hour, people getting up. Some of them are going to work, and probably they know that. But, you know, I speak for many corporations, and I always say, what's the percentage of people that contribute enough to get the full match, the free money? If I told you, hey, I'm going to give you a stock, it's going to double tomorrow, you'd run out and buy it. But if you put $100 or $200 or $1,000 into your 401k, and the company matches you dollar for dollar, that's like getting a stock that doubles. Yet many companies, big ones here in Chicago, I speak, and around the country, say, well, we have about 70% of the people contributing enough to get the full match. As a guy on the street.
And that's the savage truth. Jerry Savage, thanks for being with us in the opening bell today.
It should be a good day, interesting day.
Yeah, we'll look forward to it. You can find Terry on Twitter at TerryTalksMoney and at TerrySavage.com. That's the opening bell for this morning. Our producer is Mary Sandberg, engineer Ben Cortez, production help from Kevin Powell and Ross Cochran. We will continue monitoring the markets throughout the morning on the Steve Cochran Show during the news on the top and the bottom of the hours. And we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of the Opening Bell. Have a great day. It's 5:57.